Right, friends, welcome back. I'm Jeff Krupp, and my host Amanda Smith is here. And we're here live at the East Salem Community Center at the Union Hispana event. Joining us right now is Sheriff Hunter, who's the sheriff of Marion County. Sheriff, you just got off the podium. Well, you didn't. You wouldn't use the podium. It's not your style, is
nope,
it?
Not my style. I have a hard time that standing still, and part of that is for me, I want people to feel like they can connect.
Yeah.
And when we create
right.
podiums or tables, it's a barrier, and
yeah.
I want to be part of that community.
How long have you been in the Sheriff's Department here now?
So I've been in law enforcement for about 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I started out working in the jail, actually for Marion County. Then I went to work for Polk County, a little bit on the other side of the river, came back to Marion County in 2008. And so I've been back full-time with Marion County since 2008.
Yeah, yeah. Good, good. So you've been sheriff a short period of time now?
Short period of time. I was participated in the appointment process in June of 2023 and was unanimously appointed by the
okay.
commissioners following that process.
Very good. So we obviously have a growing Hispanic community. This is an amazing turnout to see here today, and I'm glad that it's happening. So in your time that you've been involved in law enforcement here in Marion County, and now as sheriff, what do you think is the chief concern of the Latino Hispanic community here?
Very good question. So we also have our East Salem Service District.
Okay.
And our East Salem Service District is a very interesting area because you're talking about 5.5 square miles, 37,000 people in Northeast Salem, which actually has a greater population density than the city of Portland.
Really?
And we have regular meetings with those folks.
Okay.
And one thing that if you look at those regular meetings, it is not a full representation of the community themselves that we are serving. And so I think that what we are learning very much from our Hispanic community is that they are not getting their voice heard, and they have a few that are speaking for many, and they may not be speaking
right.
the beliefs of the many. They're speaking the beliefs of the few.
Well, that's politics.
That is politics.
I served in the legislature with Representative Mannix in 1999 was my first session there. So you're right. That's politics. So you as sheriff, what are you doing anything different now to really, really connect with this growing community?
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of the foundation of where I came into this job at was I'm a firm believer in communication, and
yeah,
communication
right.
is two forms. It is how we communicate verbally, how we communicate non-verbally, but it is also how we listen. And
right.
we tend to be poor listeners. We don't understand the concept of active listening, which is when you are actually communicating with a person and they feel like their voice is being
right.
heard. But to me, that is professionalism that my office could improve upon. And so
sure.
it has been a driving factor in my last 9 months now, improving that internally, because I can only expect what my folks do internally, I can expect them to do externally. If I don't force them and
right.
have that expectation internally, yeah. how can I have that externally?
Excellent point. So are you trying to bring in more people into the Sheriff's Department that are of Hispanic or Latino origin to be a feel like or the community then feels like they are perhaps better connected to them, even though they wear a badge and they have to abide by the laws?
Great question. So I just mentioned Peel a minute ago when I was talking about the people being the police and the police
right.
being the people.
Yeah.
We have to very much focus on being our internal office needs to be representative of the community that
yeah.
we are serving. And we know we have this great and tremendous Hispanic population. And so part of our recruitment efforts are our recruitment efforts are equitable.
Yeah.
But when we talk about equitable, that means that we are getting to some of our underrepresented communities, some of our marginalized communities,
sure,
and
sure.
we're actually getting out there and recruiting and find new ways to recruit to the point that I just entered into a contract with a third-party recruiting vendor to come
yeah.
in and help me, because I do
good,
believe that
good.
Right now we are in a different generation, a different time, and it's only reasonable for me to say, hey, I need help with this
yeah. Yeah.
because we are running on a shortage of police officers, but I need a solution with an outcome, not continued talk and continued spinning on the wheel where
right.
we're not going anywhere.
Right. So let's turn to Measure 110 and the rewrite that the legislature just accomplished. In my understanding, Marion County is probably better suited to actually make 4002 the bill, this rewrite, work, whereas other places won't, because they have different infrastructure or they have a different view about how it all ought to come down. So what's your role? Do you see your role changing, I should ask, with the changing of this bill, 4002?
So I think it actually changes both, one, internally with us, and I think it does change externally with the state. But okay. Starting internally, we have the chance to improve upon and expand our program right now. And to me, that is, how do we help more people? I just mentioned it a minute ago that if you are in an addiction crisis and you are in possession or nuisance, right, low-level crimes, we want to get you treatment because I want to improve livability and I want you to come back into the community, housing, gainful employment, and contribute to that community. My other role as it's changing, though, is with the state, and you're right. So our program won't necessarily work as it is currently designed for every single jurisdiction in the state. It can't be, and we can't push that upon people. What we can do is provide resources. Hey, what we have learned along the way, lessons learned, barriers that we've overcome, and help other jurisdictions that are interested to shape their program, knowing what we know and knowing that our program is not a one-size-fits-all. My job now is to be a resource across the state, which I'm more than happy to do. The commissioners are supportive of me doing, and D.A. Clarkson is another one that will be that resource across the state.
So she's an integral part. The DAs are an integral part of this.
Absolutely.
Working. So it's a holistic view. It's you as the sheriff, it's the county commissioners, and it's the DA, because you have to have this accountability side of this thing, right?
You do. And accountability, I appreciate you using that word because it's not arrest.
No.
The bottom line is there are several pathways towards treatment, and those treatment pathways involve differing levels of accountability, which we had previously lost. But some of the opponents right now want to talk about arrest. And the simple fact of the matter is arrest is the sort of last alternative in all of these pathways, only when we are just unable to get compliance. Compliance is behavioral change, influence, persuasion, somebody wanting to change for themselves. We do have accountability measures put in there, which will help to incentivize, which we know from our folks with lived experience, that incentive at times is necessary to get back to livability, to get back to the life they should be living.
Last question, and it's related to the drug trade, and that's the we know the cartels operate in the area, unfortunately. Certainly, maybe more in Southern Oregon than they do up here. But we know, as you know, they're, because you get the intel that I don't see. So will this change in recriminalization, does it help you deal with that potential issue, especially with this community? Because so many of the cartels are from Latin America. Does it help you deal with that more effectively?
I'm going to say yes and no on that one.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
We know that I-5 is a pipeline.
Yep.
And so, yes, we can talk about what's coming into Southern Oregon, but I-5 is a pipeline. I know it's coming through Marion County. We know the HIDTA results for that. So I think there is a significant piece in 4002 when you talk about the Boyd-Hubbell fix.
Yes.
So the Boyd-Hubbell fix specifically addresses delivery and distribution.
Right.
And where we had lost was the ability to those that were in possession of everything that would say they're delivering, but we don't physically see them deliver, well, they get charged with an attempt, and an attempt does not put them on a sentencing grid that does any makes any difference.
Okay.
Now we have that back.
Now you do.
Yep. So absolutely. Okay. If you have everything, all the supplies, and you have the money, and you have the list, and it says absolutely you are dealing drugs in Marion County, then we will prosecute you. I know DA Clarkson is very much on board with this. Wherever you can get on the sentencing grid that we can send you to prison, we are going to say absolutely no to delivering or distributing drugs in Marion County. That's where this 4002 does help us with that.
Excellent. Sheriff, you've been very generous with your time. I wish you the very best, much success in all that you're doing, and keep everybody safe.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on the radio, and I think great questions.
Sheriff Hunter, friends, we'll be right back.